This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to Issues of the Environment. Every Wednesday, we discuss topics of environmental importance in Washtenaw County with area experts. And as we prepare to enter the fall months, we can reflect back on a summer a bit, a summer that some refer to as a gypsy summer. And that's because of the great number of gypsy moth caterpillars that hit our area trees. My guest today is Bob Brickholt, and Bob is a horticulture educator working through the Michigan State University Extension. Thank you so much for the time today.
I'm glad to be with you, Dave.
How severe would you rate the gypsy moth caterpillar infestation this year?
Well, it was localized areas could be pretty severe. There were a few places like in Chelsea where maybe about 20 trees were 100% stripped. And there were localized areas in Washtenaw or in Ann Arbor that were heavily hit. Not as bad as a few years ago, but more in the urban area, so it was more noticed than in past years.
How close did that come in other areas of Washtenaw County? I know University of Michigan's North Campus was hit pretty hard as well.
Yes, there were some areas where there was, 30-40% defoliation in people. It's noticeable. You see droppings underneath the trees. It was actually in spotty locations across all of lower Michigan, and mostly due to lack of rainfall in the previous seasons, allowing the gypsy moth to populations to grow, and a fungus that helps to keep them in check that needs water wasn't available.
Is there any concern for permanent damage to the trees as a result of infestation?
Well, that's a really good question. Usually the deciduous trees like the oaks, the black cherry, maples, they will come back from it because they have stored energy. The trees that are of bigger concern are the pines and the spruces, trees we don't normally think about caterpillars feeding on them, but we did have some spruces and pines across the state that were totally defoliated. But again, this was localized. And when I contacted people back the next season, the spruce and the pines did not make it, where the other trees did come back.
You mentioned this is the worst infestation we've had in several years, but throughout the course of history, there have been plenty that have been far worse than this. And it seems as though we did have a forestation population growth once the effect had passed. Is that going to be the case moving forward? Do we have any long-term or permanent concerns?
I don't have, I feel for the public is the hard part,
right?
Because they have to go through this. They don't understand. They're worried about the health of their trees. And areas that were hit hard last year, they should be looking for the egg masses. And they're just buff-colored egg masses that are on the bark and on the underside of branches. And, if they're seeing 40 to 50 or more egg masses on a tree, they should be scraping those off if they can get to them. If they can't get to them, there's some things that can be done also. But it can be, in the short term, a very serious localized issue. It's not likely to kill the deciduous trees, but nearby spruce and pines, if I knew they were on my spruce and pines, if I couldn't get the egg masses off of them, I probably would be thinking of trying to spray those trees next year.
And when you say spray, are you talking about pesticides?
Absolutely. It would be an insecticide that would be used to prevent the spruces and the pines from being defoliated, because it's not something that the pines and the spruces can come back from.
Pesticides obviously come with a whole new set of environmental hazards and potential repercussions, so there may be some who are hesitant to use that. Are there any natural remedies that work?
No, when we were doing this aerial sprays in the 80s and the 90s, we were using a bacteria, Bacillus thuringiensis, and it's very specific, but it has to be put on and sprayed on the trees very, very early, as they are just hatching out and climbing to the trunks of the trunks to the tops of the trees. If it's not done in the first couple instars, which are changes that the insect goes through as it grows, it was very specific in the 80s and the 90s, and it was an aerial spray. I don't foresee us going back to that, because this isn't anything new. We've had gypsy moth in Washtenaw every year since. Long after we had large-scale defoliation in the 80s and the 90s, almost every year we have a pocket where this pops up. And like I said, the last couple of years has been more noticeable because it's been urban areas. In the woods, in the metro parks, and I think it was maybe 2007, we had probably 5 acres stripped in one of the metro parks. And the fungus that keeps it in check, fortunately we had the rains that year to help the fungus grow and to infest the caterpillars. And then there was a stage where there was just thousands and thousands of dead caterpillars everywhere. So the next year, we didn't see the same defoliation at all. We didn't see hardly any noticeable defoliation, and that's been the pattern. But it's usually about 2 years that you have to watch out for this.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with MSU Extension horticulture educator Bob Brickalt about this summer's gypsy moth caterpillar infestation. Now, you've talked about patterns, but is there a predictive model that would allow you to determine where this is most likely to pop up?
Well, that's a very interesting point, because I could say somewhat. There's not a model, but we have what's called a statewide EnviroWeather sites across the state of Michigan, where there is monitoring sites for moisture and for rainfall and for temperature. And they're online. Anyone can go to EnviroWeather and look at them. Pretty interesting. But we can look and see where this is occurring, and it's occurring where we've had droughts the previous springs. In 2016 and 2017, we had severe dry conditions in early June and to all the way through June into July, and that's when the fungus needs the moisture to be able to grow and to develop and to infest the caterpillars. It's pretty specific and it's fairly effective. Before 1997, this was not in Michigan, and all we saw was outbreaks year after year after year. And since that time, it's rare to see an outbreak other than where we've had drought.
Will the fact that weather is becoming more and more unpredictable impact our ability to determine these kinds of outcomes?
That is also an interesting point, because we tend to see the changes in the environment a lot in the spring and in the fall. Not so much in the winter. I mean, we've had severe cold a few years ago in the winter. We've had typical Michigan winters, but it's most easily seen late in the fall. Falls that last too long, or they're up and down in temperature. Last Christmas Day, or the evening of Christmas Day, temperatures dropped so significantly that we believe that up until that point, trees had not gone into normal dormancy, and there was some damage to evergreens.
Mm.
So, yes. I agree that it does make it more difficult, and moisture is the key. If we get the needed moisture in May and June, we see large die-offs of the caterpillars.
Well, as we begin to exit one gypsy moth season and start to prepare for another, what will you be looking for in the months in between?
Well, we've got a large number of months where this is in its really its dormant stage as an egg mass. And the egg masses are easily seen. So if you're in the Ann Arbor, Washtenaw area, and you've seen this in the past, you might be wanting to go out and take a look, because it's called gypsy moth for a reason. It spreads out fairly quickly, and you look for the egg masses on the trunks, and you can remove them. Don't knock them on the ground. They're pretty darn hardy. Knock them into soapy water and let them soak in the soapy water, and that will destroy them. If you're not sure of what you're looking for, there's some really great articles at MSU Extension News. One of my colleagues helped to write one late this summer. A scientist, Dave Smitley, is quoted and talks about the history of this and how entomophaga, the fungus that keeps it in control, has made all the difference until we have a drought, of course.
And the fungus itself is no danger to the trees?
No, the fungus is not a danger at all. It's common to soils. The strain is not common to Michigan, but was brought in from Connecticut back in the 90s and has been here ever since. And it has a resting spore that waits for the moisture and sits there just waiting. And if we have the moisture like we did in May, we actually did have young caterpillars dying off. But by the time we got to June, it dried out, and the ones that survived went on to do quite a bit of feeding on a lot of trees.
Is this a fungus that could be grown in a lab and then introduced in areas where it is expected there was going to be an infestation?
You know, it doesn't need to occur, because it is so widespread across the state, and each caterpillar that dies from it can have hundreds of thousands of spores. And when they drop to the ground, they're waiting to for the next season to infest caterpillars and just need the moisture. So it is pretty much spread throughout Michigan and been doing a great job, you know, maybe watering your landscape at that time of the season, especially near the spruces and the pines might help. But like I said, you were asking about a biological control. The only one we have is BT. And for homeowners to do that, it might not be feasible because of the height of spruces in pines, but I'm sure that they could call a local arborist and ask if they are using BT early in the spring if they want to go that route. If not, they probably will have to use another insecticide that is not a biological control.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for the time today.
Well, I appreciate you being there and doing this. Thank you.
That is Bob Brickholt, horticulture educator with MSU Extension. I'm David Fair, and Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. It's heard every Wednesday, only on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.